love you, Greg. We're not going to be long this evening. Don't worry. I'm not a traditional Baptist preacher. We're not going to give you a 45-minute message on Christmas Eve. I have to go home and wrap presents still. If you were here this morning, you realize that I got about 4 hours left and my time is just beginning. But what I do want to do is I don't want to let you guys go before we read a Christmas story. It's a tradition in our family that my father started, my grandfather started forever long ago. I've been corrected. Of reading through Luke chapter 2. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn to Luke chapter 2 with me, we're going to look at verses 1 through 20. Just briefly read through the story. If you don't have something, you can feel free to follow along with me on the screen behind you. You will see the words. But Luke chapter 2 is kind of the main Christmas story account of the birth of Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to do our candle lighting portion of the service. Again, if there is a fire, please use the emergency exits. But before we get there, I want to read through this. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the entire inhabited earth should be taxed. This taxation was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own city to be taxed. So Joseph also departed from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem in Judea, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So while they were there, the day came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth or swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In verse 8, in the same area there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were very afraid. But the angel said to them, 'Listen, do not fear, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a company of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came hurrying and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the word which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherd returns, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." This is kind of the traditional story when we think about the birth of Jesus, or when I think about Christmas. This is the story, this is the passage that gets read every Christmas morning. Our Christmas does not start. We can't open presents, we can't do anything until Luke chapter 2 is read. And it's the account of the shepherds going to visit Mary and Joseph. I want to step aside from the story for a second, and I want to talk to you about the properties of light. I am not a scientist, I am not a whoever studies light. So my information will be basic at best, but I want to share with you some properties of light real quick. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second, or 671 miles an hour. It is measured in lumens, how bright it is, which means that you can have two light bulbs that use the exact same wattage. We may have some examples in the back. That use the exact same wattage or power, but they give off two different levels of brightness, right? So it uses the same power, but it's two different levels of brightness. We see that especially today with LEDs, right? The way science has taken LEDs, you can have an LED that's 25 watts, and it'll put off more lumens or more brightness than a incandescent bulb that's, say, 50 watts or 100 watts. Light is used, and this is a no-joke statement, light is used to see in the dark. That's your profound lesson for this evening. No, I'm just kidding. Light is used to see in the dark, obviously, right? But it's for this reason, It's for this reason. If there is light, there can't be darkness. See, darkness is the absence of light. Once there's light, darkness can't overcome that light. Until the light loses its power source, until the light is, say for instance, is extinguished, darkness cannot overcome that light. Darkness is the absence of light. Interesting fact about light and darkness is the darker that it gets, and you may have experienced this in your life, the darker it gets, the brighter a light seems to be, doesn't it? For instance, around here, if you look up into the sky at night, on a clear night without clouds, and you look at the stars, it's not a lot of stars, right? You get some, you have a few. If you go up to the Adirondack Mountains, you can literally see the Milky Way galaxy. And when I experienced that for the first time in my life, we went to the camp that we volunteered at, and we laid down on the sailing dock, and we looked up, and literally the sky had so many stars in this particular area that it looked milky in its existence. But see, as you get darker and darker, light seems to shine brighter and brighter. That's because no matter how dark it gets, darkness can't put the light out. So as long as the light has a power source, darkness can't overcome it. I want to read another verse for you. It's John 8, verse 12. And you'll see it on the screen. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, he shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, Jesus is the light of the world. And what we just said about darkness is Jesus came into that darkness. But the darkness couldn't hide him. John 1, verses 1 to 5, it says exactly that, that the darkness couldn't overcome it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was created that was created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. See, over 2,000 years ago, a baby was born that would change our existence forever, right? As humans, we're sinners, and we're in need of a savior, and we know that. I have in my hand a lighter, and with all the lights in here, that doesn't seem that impressive, right? Especially because it's already well lit. That versus technology, which we now have LEDs, is a little bit brighter, right? Compare the two. And I tried, but I was told that I couldn't. My next example was going to be a bonfire that I was going to light and show you that the bigger the fire, the more light it puts off. Something about fire codes and fire departments and the insurance, and they wouldn't let me do it. But a simple light like a lighter, right? It's a very small flame, and we can put it out. But if we light a candle, now a candle can burn for some time. And if you took this candle and you lit a fire, now the fire can burn even longer and brighter. As long as these things have power source, it doesn't matter how dark it gets, this will still give off light. Now, if I run out of fuel, obviously it won't work anymore. But as long as we have the light in our life, it doesn't matter how dim it is, it still can't be extinguished. But if you never have a light in your life, all you have is darkness. How does this relate to the birth of Jesus? Jesus was born into this world as the Savior. John says that he is the light of life. All of us as humans have sin nature. We have an eternity that is going to be separated from God unless we recognize that we're sinners in need of this Savior, in need of this gift that was given over 2,000 years ago. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we've now accepted the light of life into our life. And that's twofold. One, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. But now it means that there's some light in the darkness inside, right? What happens if you put light in a dark room? It gets brighter. Say you have a room that hasn't been touched in 20 years, and suddenly you put a light in it. What do you start to see in this room? Yeah, speak up. I'm still sick and can't hear. Dust, right? So once we put light in our life, what happens? We start to see the dust, and we start to see the dirt and the grime and the broken things that are out of place, right? When Christ comes into our life, he shows us the broken things that are in our life because he starts to illuminate our world. He starts to show us where we need to make improvements. But he doesn't do it in a judgmental way because he says, I'm here with you to help you clean up this area, right? The more light that we put into a room, the more that we illuminate it, the more we see the things that need to be fixed, the cracks on the wall, the holes in the ceiling, things that need to be touched up. But Jesus says, I'm willing to do that, right? But he doesn't just want one room. How many of you in here have ever heard of or have ever seen that special room in, say, a grandparent's house? It's that room that you're not allowed to go into. It's the room that maybe has the plastic on the furniture, right? Everything is perfectly kept. It's that room, right? Usually, it's accompanied by a big window. So anyone driving by who looks into the house sees this perfectly manicured room, right? It's the perfect room. It's the perfect setup. And anyone who drives by just sees that, wow, they got their life together. They really are, you know, all that. And yet if you were to actually open the front door and look at the rest of the house, I mean, the rest of the house is chaos. The magazines are everywhere. The kids' shoes are a mess. There's dirt on the carpet, right? But we have that one room. A lot of times when we talk about Jesus and we talk about him being the light of our life and accepting him into our lives, we have a tendency to relegate him to that one room where we've illuminated that room and we've fixed it up and everything is perfect. But then the rest of our life has those cobwebs and the dark corners. And we don't want to let him into the rest of that. Right? We're ashamed of what the rest of life holds. But Jesus says, I am the light of life. He's come to save us. He's come to help us take all of those rooms, to put light in every single one of them, and to start cleaning them up, if we're willing. For those of you who haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may not understand what the big deal is. But here's the second thing about light. Light helps illuminate your way, right? If we put light in a room, we can see everything in a room, and that's great. But if you put light into a flashlight and now you start projecting it, light can show you where the holes in the road are. The light can show you where the trees are. It can show you where the bends are. And it can help guide you through life. The other thing that Jesus says about being light, he says that I am a light unto your path, right? I am a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. See, if we're walking with Jesus, Jesus will help illuminate where we should be going. And when we stray off and we walk off the path that we're supposed to be on, he'll help show us back to where we need to be. There's so much that you can talk about light and you can talk about its properties and how it's used and how we harness it for energy. But with a candlelight service, in a minute we're going to light our candles. And we're going to sing Silent Night. And we're going to think back to the original nativity scene on that quiet night when Jesus was born. And maybe it was dark in the house. Maybe they had a simple candle lighting up the room. But regardless of how much light, they had the light of the world, the Savior that was in that room. All of the lights that you see in here will at some point cease to exist. This lighter will run out of energy. These candles will burn down, and the wicks will have nothing left. The light bulbs that are in this room will eventually burn out, some sooner than others. Right? No matter what light that we have here on earth, they will eventually fail us. But there's one light that never will, and that's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of life. And that's what this holiday is about. celebrating the light that came into this world to illuminate the darkness, to help show us where we should be going with life. This Christmas, as you spend it with your family and as you spend it with your friends, I would encourage you to remember the light and the gift that was given. We talked this morning with Hydewood about the gifts that were given at church. And it doesn't matter what's under your tree tomorrow morning. It doesn't matter who's at your house. It doesn't matter what you unwrap or what you don't unwrap. What matters the most is that there's a single light that will never fade. And along with that comes a promise that if you have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you never walk this life alone. My prayer for you tonight is that if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll give you the same challenge I gave Hydewood this morning. Are you living a life that if it was wrapped up in a present, God would be excited to open on Christmas Day? Is what you're doing every day something that if you boxed it up and God opened it, he would have that great expression of just joy on Christmas morning? If you're a Christian and you have Jesus relegated to that one room because you don't want to let the light seep into the rest of your rooms, is your life in a position where if God opened it, it would be one of sadness, of disappointment, of wishing that he could have more involvement in your life? If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would ask that you come and talk to me or to Don Vollmer or anyone else that's going to be a part of the next portion of this ceremony. Because we would love to share with you the light that will never fade, and that's the light of Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, who over 2,000 years ago was born as a baby, lived a life knowing that it would end in his personal sacrifice for me and for you, so that we could one day be reunited with him. That's my challenge to you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the light that you sent into this dark world, being your son. Lord, we thank you for how he's illuminated our lives. Lord, we thank you that he doesn't do it out of judgment. Lord, that it's out of love to help show us how we can grow, how we can get stronger. Lord, how we can live a life that would be honoring to you. That if it was packaged into a box and presented as a present, it would be one that was pleasing to you, that you would look at us and you would find joy in how we live. Lord, if there's anyone here this evening that doesn't know you, I pray that you would put the influences in their life to show them what your love is all about. Lord, that as this season comes together, as we open presents, as we spend time with family, that there's a present that they can have that costs nothing, there's no strings attached, but it brings the gift of eternal life, being able to spend eternity with you. Lord, as we close our service out this evening, I pray that it would be a good time together. Lord, as we later on leave and go back to our respective homes, I pray for safety and I pray for strength. Lord, we thank you for your son and we thank you for who he is. And we pray these things in your son's name.